Peace of Christ be with you, friends. We have some visitors here looking at Hope College. We want to welcome you here, yes, to our balmy campus. We're so glad you're here. One quick notice, if anyone is interested in taking up the Dan Klaus Challenge to memorize Romans 12 and to have a home-cooked sponsored dinner by Dan and Grace, you have 1 week. Please email Dan, 1 week. Coming back from break, I knew I was going to preach on chapel, and so I started working on my sermon. And in the mail, I got a letter from my friend Karis. For those of you who are visiting, or even for freshmen, because we haven't had a letter from Despondent U yet, my friend Karis is an old friend from University of St. Andrews, where I went to grad school. She's the dean of the chapel at Despondent University. And occasionally, she writes a letter that I think is so appropriate that I just stop my sermon and read it. And I'd like to read it to you with your permission. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Stated February 11th, 2014. Dear Trigvi, it's early morning and I'm sitting at my aged cherry wood oak desk with a cup of black coffee and a chip pottery mug looking out the window of my study at Revelation Memorial Chapel. It's another cold morning, which is to say, it's a typical morning on campus this winter. I don't know what it's been like at Hope, but here at Despondent U, it's been a long winter. We have experienced unprecedented snowfall. Snowbanks are now taller than the evergreen trees. I feel as if I'm living in a modern day Narnia where it's always winter and we are waiting, all waiting, for the arrival of Aslan to break the spell. I think of this as I ruminate on my morning devotions. I'm spotty at devotions, even though I've got a gazillion devotional books. It's the default gift family members give to the pastor and their family at Christmas and at birthdays. Oh, thank you, I say. Another devotional book. Honestly, I don't typically use devotional books. What I like to do is simply open the Bible and to take a verse, one verse, and just sit with it and let it whisper to me in my imagination. This morning, I'm listening to the end of Romans 11, verse 36. Here, Paul writes this, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. For from him, Jesus Christ, and through him, are all things." What a great verse for a college campus. It means quite literally that all things we seek to study have a corresponding origin back to Christ. All things is comprehensive. All things means nothing is left out. It means that when all things, when untangled from sin, and that when ordered and directed to their proper end, can bring glory to God forever. All things. As I look outside, sipping coffee from my chipped blue pottery mug, looking out upon another sunless morning of snow, I can't help but ask in a skeptical tone, "Really, Lord, all things, even February?" I can tell it's February even if I didn't look at the calendar. I can tell by the way the students are walking to their 8 a.m. classes. In December and even in January, there's a kind of energy in the gait of each student. Winter is embraced with a youthful vigor. Heads are up. People are talking and laughing on the way to class, and some people even break out in song, but not in February. In February, students shuffle past my window on the way to class like they just got sentenced to 3 to 5 with no room for parole. In February, they walk weighted down with heavy backpacks like crosses endured on the way to Golgotha. Their heads are down by heavy knit caps that mat and mold their hair into particular fashion, fashion that screams, "Yes, I live in the Midwest." In January, the students glide by my window like they're on skates. But in February, they move slowly like a herd of puffy Gap models, swollen from layers and layers of sweaters, scarves, and down jackets. The once purposeful energy has dwindled to the slow acquiescent repose of winter. It's February at Despondent U. I can also tell it's February because when I go down to Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, "Life's hard, have a cup of coffee." The theme of nearly every conversation I overhear is a solidarity around the commiseration of the weather. "Wow, can you believe how brutal this winter has been?" says the guy walking through the door. "We have not had a winter like this since 78, says the tenured professor standing in line for coffee. "It's so cold, I'm so cold. Why am I so cold?" says the freshman from California. "I should have chosen the blue pill," says the fifth year senior. The weather is the theme of all the English majors plotted in the corners of the cafe, reading paperback copies of Camus, sipping soy lattes, and updating their Facebook profiles with anti-February aphorisms from Shakespeare. "Why, what's the matter that you have such a February face, so full of frost, of storm, and cloudiness?" It's February, I despond to you, and I can tell not just because of how people walk to class or because the only thing we talk about now is the weather, but because this is the season when the campus starts to go a little nutty. Good people, kind people, smart people start to do some really dumb things. It makes sense. Students have been locked up, living in a caged existence under the warmth of artificial lights and unregulated amounts of fructose and sugar. In such a state, the promise of a generation do things that cause the administration to shake their head in disbelief. "They did what? Again?" is often a phrase whispered under the breath of our president in February. You see, in the doldrums and darkness of winter, students begin imagining things to do that they would simply not entertain in the happy days of long light. Cooped up for months, our students go, well, they just go a little crazy. I'll confess that I'm sympathetic. In February, it feels like we're living in the movie Groundhog Day. The same day over and over. Cold, snow, followed by more cold and snow. It's why I'm convinced February was when Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun, except here, despondent you, there's not even sun. I'm thinking about this, and as a pastor, wondering how to help my campus avoid a profound spiritual seasonal affective disorder. How do we avoid acting out and reframing our attitudes? I'm wondering if the cause of our collective nuttiness is deeper than just being cooped up and existing on high sugar levels. I'm wondering if an answer might have to do with embracing the truth that all things are for Christ and through Christ, even February, the shortest month that somehow seems the longest. I'm wondering if maybe there is something for us to learn, to experience in February that God thinks we need. I wonder if February is the month to embrace the spiritual principle of ascesis. Ascesis is the word that is derived from asceticism. It's not a New Testament word, but the early church used it to make analogies with athletic training and spiritual development. Ascesis is to spirituality what a training program is to an athlete. It is the means by which we mature into holiness. Early church Christians used this word a lot to help them resist the seductive voices, to help them not fall victim to the surrounding nuttiness of their culture. They knew that if they were going to experience intimacy with God, it was going to require discipline of stripping away the things we think we want in order to experience that which we most desperately need, a larger life with the living God. I've been thinking about this as we approach Lent. Maybe we are all Jonah, and February is the belly of the whale. I love how Eugene Peterson writes, quote, "Ascesis is a spiritual equivalent to the old artistic idea that talent grows by its very confinement, that the genie's strength comes from the confinement in the bottle. The creative artist and the praying Christian work common ground here. Without confinement, without intensification resulting from compression, there is no energy we're speaking of. The energy of Christian spirituality, of Christian love, requires boundaries, borders, and inescapable limits. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If the incarnation teaches us anything, it is that God does not call us to flee the world, but to take it more seriously through intensified, confined relationship. Maybe what God wants from us in February is to grow our soul. It's a paradox, because to grow the soul, we first have to live within its confinements. This is how we experience the really good stuff in life. Romantic love doesn't flourish loving everyone, but someone, a particular person. Maybe askesis is the reason Valentine's Day is in the middle of February. As I sit by my window and look out, watching the slow shuffle of humanity march by, I think to myself that maybe February is an opportunity for me and for them. Maybe February is the month when, stripped of other distractions, when we discern what our true desires are made for and what we are made to long for, that our longing for light is really a longing for the coming kingdom, where the King is light from true light. I say this. I say, friends, don't let friends go nutty. I say, let us encourage each other to pursue the holy. I say, let this month of desolation prepare our souls for the coming consolation of Jesus, who is the risen Christ. I say, let us use February to strengthen rather than fatigue the soul. I say, this month of confinement ignite an inner flame in us that burns hot for all things that are good, all things that are true, all things that are beautiful. For from him and through him and to him are all things, all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. My prayer is that this is how you and the campus of Hope College will experience the remaining winter. I say, my friend, go love February. That's all the news from Despondent U. Give Kristen and the kids a hug from Aunt Karis. And remember, always remember, to love your place, love your people, and to love the Word. Grace and peace, Karis. It's mid-February. I thought this was a good word. That maybe, just maybe, her encouragement would allow us to reframe our attitudes. That we would embrace this season of confinement in February so that our lives aren't conditioned merely by the weather, but by the consequence of the gospel. As you launch into the weekend, as you embrace love for each other on this Valentine's Day, go with the peace and love of Christ. Amen.